I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
One guy's not getting paid, but one guy did. I think to everyone's surprise, from out of nowhere, Jaylen Warren gets a new contract or a contract extension. There's always that confusion when the Steelers sign somebody. It's a contract extension is what it is. With, depending on the reports you read, $12 million guaranteed. Is that what you saw, Limits? $12 million guaranteed?
Indeed, what I saw.
That's what Tom Pelissero and others have reported. So it's a three-year, $17.25 million contract and $12 million guaranteed. As I mentioned earlier, that's more than Derrick Henry got guaranteed last year. When he signed with the Ravens, it's more than Najee got. I saw it reported in some places that, you know, he didn't even get what Najee got. He actually got more guaranteed money. Najee signed a one-year deal that's worth guaranteed something like $5 million, and it's up to $9 million, all based on incentives. Look up the Najee Harris deal, would you, Limits, to make sure I have that right? Please. I was surprised by Jaylen Warren. Were you out there? And did you deem it necessary? I didn't. He's coming off, and I like Jaylen Warren. You know, when he's right, I think he's a pretty good player. He's a, you know, he's a first down maker. I don't think he's a star running back by any means, and he's not getting star money. But I just didn't see the need for this right now. Like, I think there's a lot of Jaylen Warrens that you could get out there. I do. The Steelers just drafted another running back. And the guaranteed money just, it caught me by surprise. It did. Warren's coming off a down season. He was okay last year. He was banged up a little bit. He has fumbling issues, and if they thought this much of him, then why did they draft another guy with the 83rd pick?
That's exactly what I discussed last night. Like, I'm a little bit surprised by that. Does it say more that they love Jaylen Warren, Joe, or does it say that they are a little bit hesitant of what they've seen from Caleb Johnson so far?
Well, that's interesting. I can't imagine they're saying that already, although I am, but that would be very strange to me. I think they want to have running back by committee. They probably see Warren as a pretty affordable guy. They're not going to be paying a quarterback big money. But see, here's the thing. Just because you're not paying a quarterback big money doesn't mean you have to give out questionable contracts to people. You know what I mean? Like, I consider this a questionable contract. I do. I didn't see the need for it. I think he's a decent player. I'm not sure the Steelers should really be trusted on how to form an elite running game and on their talent evaluation of running backs. I don't think they should at this point. They've proven to me otherwise. They drafted a run. They got rid of James Conner or let him go. Drafted a running back in the first round, bucking current trends. And then that running back didn't even make it to his second deal, and James Conner is better than him. James Conner is objectively better than Najee Harris. And that was a mistake, I think we all agree. That was a bad pick. They've drafted bunches of offensive linemen. They brought in a run-first offensive coordinator. There's this idea nationally that's been perpetuated year after year, I guess based on long ago Steeler history, that the Pittsburgh Steelers strike fear into defenses with their big, bad, physical running game. Well, it's been a while. Let me just put it that way. Limits, you tell me, when was the last time the Steelers had a top 10 rushing attack. Give me a year. Wrong.
Probably 2017 with Lev Bell.
Nope. Now, I will say that with Le'Veon Bell, for a very brief time when he was at the top of his powers, they did strike fear into opponents.
Oh, elite.
He was elite.
He was elite. Not the running game, but he was.
He was, yeah. You had to respect him, for sure. And that enhanced the passing game, and that's the way it goes. But when was the last time, as a team, they finished in the top 10 in rushing, which is to say rushing yards per game? You get another guess.
Sooner or later than when I guessed.
I'm not telling you.
2005 with Bettis?
2007.
Oh, my word. With Willie Parker.
Oh, my word is right.
Fresh off an extension himself.
2007 is the last time the Steelers finished with a top 10 rushing attack. Now, they got all the way up to 11th last season, but the bad news there is they were fourth in the league in attempts. They desperately wanted to have a really good run game, so they ran it all the time. And it didn't work. It did not work. When you're fourth in attempts and 11th in yards, that's really bad efficiency. We saw them try to establish run early in games. It almost never worked. They didn't score a first drive touchdown the whole year, for example. They couldn't get a single yard when they needed one. And yet, we'll go to this broadcast on Sunday and every other broadcast the Steelers are involved in, and people just throw out what has become cliche. The Steelers want to run the ball. That's what they do. That's what they've done. A big, bad Pittsburgh Steeler running game. That's what we're going to see today. Well, we hardly ever see it. We hardly ever see it. And I don't know that signing Jaylen Warren is a way to get there. I like Jaylen Warren. Nice back. There's a lot of nice backs out there that I don't have to give $12 million guaranteed dollars to. He's coming off a down year. He was banged up. He has fumbling issues. He's never started an NFL game, and you're throwing $12 million guaranteed dollars at him? You tell me. 412-928-9370. Sports Talk. On 93.7 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. A little more about the run game. I think it's debatable whether it's vital to be a really good running team in the modern day NFL. You know, we've seen the Chiefs make a bunch of Super Bowls and win a bunch. Sometimes they have a good running game. Sometimes it's not that great. Certainly you don't need a star back to win a Super Bowl. That's been proven beyond doubt. Now, it happened last year with Saquon. It almost never does, though. However, I couldn't help but notice that the top six running teams in the league last year, Baltimore, Philly, Washington, Tampa, Green Bay, Detroit, made the playoffs, and one of them won the Super Bowl, right? So there's got to be something to it, right? There's got to be something to having a good running game. And here's what else I know, is that when the Steelers have done their best work in recent years, when they've had their best stretches, their running game has been flourishing. It's when their running game is at its best. It's rare. But when the Steelers are going well, the running game's going well. The three-game streak with Mason to end the season a couple years ago and make the playoffs, they ran for 470 yards in three games. The 7-2 stretch the year before, they averaged 146 yards a game over those nine games, rushing. Under Matt Canada, for God's sakes. And the last time they won a playoff game, if your memory stretches back that far, Limits, you were like four. You still had a binky in the last time they won a playoff game, didn't you?
If you consider high school that, yeah.
Yeah.
I was a very old child at that point.
They won two playoff games that year, basically on the back of Le'Veon Bell, who had 337 yards in two playoff games. And then got hurt, strangely, against the Patriots. That whole week was weird, and then he gets hurt against the Patriots. So what's the moral of all that? is that I think it is important to have at least an effective run game. Unfortunately, Art Rooney and Mike Tomlin have been espousing the virtues of a run game for years and years and years, and they haven't had a good one. Part of that is that they've also had a poor passing game. Other than having a poor pass game and run game, they've had a hell of an offense, by the way, limits.
Special teams is where they're scoring their points.
And defenses haven't respected the Steelers' ability to beat them in the pass, especially over the top. Russell Wilson had some success there, but not against good teams. So if I don't respect the fact that you could, the idea that you could beat me over the top, I'm selling out to stop the run. That hasn't helped. Running back issues, offensive line issues, scheme issues, and everything else. And the running game around here is a fraud. It's something that national observers peddle, like many things with the Steelers, and it's just not true. They tried it last year. Oh, did they try? What, they have 550 attempts, fourth in the league? They just weren't very good at it. They drafted a guy in the first round, and they didn't even offer him a second contract. So this is the year they better have one. And then they wind up drafting a guy 83rd overall, another running back, and throwing $12 million guaranteed and another. They need a running game this year. Gotta have one. Artie Smith and Aaron Rodgers both thrive, both love play action. They thrive in the play. Well, Rodgers has thrived in it. Artie just loves it. And I'm not sure it's worked for him other than when he had a guy named Derrick Henry in his backfield. But if you look at Rodgers' history, you go back to Green Bay, and it's very, very interesting to see what our friend Guy Lafleur did with Rodgers in Green Bay, because it was very similar to what Todd Haley did with Ben. And I think the idea was to preserve him longer, to have him get rid of the ball faster, and in Rodgers' case, to really dig in on the play action. And if you look at the numbers, when LaFleur arrived in Green Bay, suddenly Rodgers was getting rid of the ball faster, and he was using the play-action game to great effect when he won his MVPs in 20 and 21. So it's got to happen. They need to have a good running game to make the play-action work, to make defenses honest, to keep defenses off of their 41-year-old quarterback. It has to be consistently good. They haven't finished in the top 10 since 2007. They can't get a yard when they need one. Let's go here, Limits. Let's actually have, instead of people perpetuating the idea or the myth that the Steelers have a really good run game, let's actually see one. Wouldn't that be nice?
When I think about the run game and I think about ground and pound Steeler football, what we want our overall identity to be, partly they've gotten away from that because the quarterback play over the last 5+ years has been bad. But I mean, I was going back and looking at some of those years that you mentioned with Le'Veon Bell, Joe, and they were like 17th, 18th, 19th in rushing. Like even at those years, they, I guess, were not the ground and pound Steelers that we're all used to, or we're told that they are.
But they did have a star running back, and on certain weeks they could kill you in the run game because he was a star.
They don't have a star this year.
No.
It's by committee, and play action has to be able to help that, and the offensive line has to be able to help that. And if they can't run the football, they're going to get, and they can't control the clock. Because look at what Baltimore did. Look at what Philadelphia did to control the clock. Fourth quarter against them. That's how you close out games, and that's why they haven't been able to do it in recent
years. Thank you for raising that, because the other big factor here is you should have a good defense. I don't think historically great like they think, but a good defense that you need to protect, and a run game helps you keep the ball. And if you look, they've had a couple of good years in time of possession, which I think is important for this franchise, this team in particular, but not many, not many. You have to keep your defense rested. You have to keep them off the field when you have a really good defense. Mike Tomlin spoke about his philosophy late last year while the Steelers were crumbling. 412-928-9370, by the way. Your thoughts on the Jaylen Warren contract? You glad they signed him? Is this a good deal to throw $12 million guaranteed at Jaylen Warren? Do you like that contract? 928-9370. This was when the Steelers were crumbling last year. And Tomlin talked about the run game. He said, for us, it's about playing to a personality that we prescribe to engineer victory, to possess the ball. And he added, and a component to possessing the ball is not only time, but managing risk. Obviously, there's less risk with running the football than throwing it. That's from Mr. Don't Live in My Fears. Now, we could argue about whether Tomlin's risk-averse style is right, but if he's going to play it, you better be able to run it. You have to, and they haven't been able to do it enough or effectively enough. They just haven't. They've drafted for it in terms of line, in terms of running backs, and now they think they have a quarterback who can still sling it down the field. He can. If you look at Rodgers, some of his down-the-field numbers – now, overall, he's become more conservative. If you look at yards per completion, things like that, but he's also still a very effective deep ball passer. They have to be able to run. They have to be able to make defenses honest, period. And I'm not necessarily convinced that they can at this point. And if you have Jaylen Warren finally as your guy, don't you want to see him prove it before you throw money at him? I guess you risk losing him, but if he turns into LaDainian Tomlinson, you can always franchise him. I was saying the same thing about Najee a while ago. Here, I would make him prove it instead of throwing that kind of, I want to see him on the field. I want to see him not fumbling. I want to see him fending off the draft pick and being a really good runner. Now, it's going to be by committee, so he's not going to completely fend him off. I want to see Jaylen Warren as a really good starter before I commit money to him. Maybe that's silly. 412-928-9370. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates. Personal injury law firm. Well, they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Limits, let's hit the lines, my friend. Who do we have?
Well, let's see if Steve in Coriopolis agrees.
What's up, Steve?
Yes, I agree. I think that they should have gave that boy that money. He
should or shouldn't
like
have?
Said, it's not, like you said, it's not a lot of money. He give him a chance. $12 million is not a lot of money. But I think it was a good thing to do. I gave the running game a shot in the arm. He's going to do the job, and next year they'll be glad that they did.
I hope you're right, but there's no guarantee, and $12 million guaranteed is actually a decent amount for a running back. Like I said, it's more than Derrick Henry got last year. He only got $9 million guaranteed to go to the Ravens. I guess you and they, Steve, believe in Jaylen Warren a lot more than I do, and like I said, I like him. I think he's a nice back. I think I can find nice backs in a lot of places. That's my point.
Yeah, I understand your point, but you got to realize, too, that what if it does work, buddy? Then next year we'll be having a different conversation.
Absolutely.
I love the show, and you guys have a great day.
You too. Sure we will. If it works, it'll be great to have him locked in.
Other than Tony, the callers have been very kind today.
But it's a very, very big if, I should say, yeah. Or a very big if. Who's up?
Here's Gary. He's in Bethel Park.
Hey, Gary.
Hey, I wanted to comment on Jaylen Warren's fumbles. I looked it up. He had 7 in his career in 3 years.
Yeah.
And it's not considered excessive. That's considered normal for a running back. He carried, I think, half of the time last year for the Steelers. You know how many fumbles he had last year?
1, correct?
2. He lost one.
And 3 the year before?
He lost one.
Yeah.
And they did the same thing with Jerome Bettis.
Well, whether he lost one is immaterial. Fumbling is fumbling, and then it's luck whether your team recovers it. You know how many fumbles Najee Harris had in about 1,200 touches? 4. That's a significant difference between 7.
With an injured eye.
That has a lot to do with the conversation. He never fumbled. Warren has fumbled, what is it? I don't know,
7 times in 3 years.
Yeah. Yes. 7 times in 3 years.
That's not considered excessive. Look it up.
You look it up. You tell me the numbers. I just told you Najee had at like three times as many touches and only four fumbles in that time. So it was excessive for Steeler running backs. Would you agree with that?
No, because he got half the carries last year, and he fumbled twice.
Jalen Warren, in his career, has about a third of the touches as Najee and more fumbles, okay?
Whoopee.
They
said the same thing about Jerome Bettis when they got Jerome Bettis.
They did?
And he's got a statue in Canton, Ohio.
Are you going to be there at the Jalen Warren statue ceremony? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I will be there for sure.
That's a good ending to that call. I like that when it ends with a sense of humor limits. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying he fumbles on every carry, but he's had some issues, including the last time he touched the ball, or
right,
at least in that preseason game.
And now in more of a full-time role, I would think that your expectations for fumbles would go up higher, and your concern level at least would be higher that fumbling number is going to go up. So I am worried about that.
I will agree with that caller. It's not excessive. It's not like this guy needs to carry a football around everywhere he walks so he doesn't fumble it like they had. Who'd they have do?
The wet football.
Was it Jonathan Dwyer who had to do that? Somebody had to carry a football around everywhere he went. Like you're out to dinner and you have to make a reservation for three, me, my girlfriend, and the football gets the third seat. Everywhere you go, you carry a football.
Waiter trying to punch the football out when you walk by?
Yes. I don't think we've gotten to that point with Jalen, but, you know, multiple fumbles ever. In 2023, he fumbled four times. You can't have that. Last year, he fumbled two. My mathematical skills tell me that's six times in the last 2 years and once in the last game he played. So I don't think like he needs, you know, a 12-step group here, but it's concerning. That's the way I would phrase it. And I guarantee you it's concerning to Mike Tomlin.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Mike Tomlin coming up, top of the hour, the first news conference of the year. In the meantime, man, we got to work to squeeze in some college football, and it was a pretty wild weekend and weeknight last night as Bill Belichick gets his ass kicked in week one, and an entire nation rejoiced. At least I did, Limits, and I think a lot of other people did. It was so weird seeing him in a North Carolina sweatshirt. Like, I've fluctuated in my opinion of what this is, what I think of this. And at times, I guess because of the nature of the game, but even at the beginning of the game, it seemed sad. It seemed kind of pathetic for the greatest coach in NFL history. He didn't go down to coach Alabama, although he might soon if that program keeps going the way they're going under DeBoer. He went to coach North Carolina. It seems in a way like beneath him. I'll say that. And now he goes there and that's a good clip. Play that again. I love that.
Bill Belichick offending you.
And then he goes there and gets absolutely annihilated in week one. So that was a big story. Obviously LSU winning was a big story. I wanted Brian Kelly to lose, although Dabo Sweeney, I kind of like it when he loses too. I think, though,
we're sitting here again.
Not anymore.
Talking about the same things. Not this year.
We
not
can't
this year.
We can't play that anymore. I think the biggest story of the week was Arch Manning going into Ohio State and just peeing all over his rock box, as you would put it.
Over his rock box.
Right? I mean, this was horrifying. It was just a terrible performance by him. Now, I think some people may be overreacting to this. I think they probably are. And if I was somebody who was contributing to his NIL, I wouldn't want to hear any excuses. I can tell you that. But I also have to look at it realistically, that it was his first game against real competition on the road. And there's not a tougher place to do it than Ohio State. Having said that, this is from ESPN. His off-target percentage of 37% was the worst by a Texas quarterback in the past decade in any game. In any game. So it was horrifying for a while, but he made some great throws in the second half. I still think he's going to be really, really good, but I can't deny that that was an awful performance. Did you watch it?
So it was fascinating because I was at the Penn State game and so many tailgates, and I mean so many tailgates had this game on.
Yeah.
Like all the ones that my sister and I bounced around to. And Arch Manning had under 100 yards through three quarters, Joe.
I know.
The quarterback play was awful between him and Julian Sain. Like it was bad. Sure, it was, you know, two really good defenses going up against it, but Arch looked timid. He looked concerned with the reads from defenses. He missed a big throw when they were driving to try to tie the game on 3rd and 5. Guy was wide open on a crossing route, and he overthrew him. Arch played bad, but I'm not giving up on him. It's the first game in Columbus. Very difficult start. You know, no scrimmages. There's no preseason in college football. It was bad, don't get me wrong, but I'm not going to overreact and say that Arch Manning is, you know, completely overrated like a lot, like some people are
me
going
neither.
Out there and saying.
Me neither. And I saw some great throws in the second half, and I would expect him, come on, to still have a chance to be the number one pick if he were going to come out next year. I'm not sure, even after watching that I wouldn't make him the number one pick. John Elway had a terrible NFL start. Just awful. I believe it was in Buffalo, if I recall correctly. I mean, it happens. That was his first game on the road against a great team, and it's a great defense. I don't care if Ohio State lost some people. That is a great defense. Meantime, I think the other big story here, Limits, might be good old Kalen DeBoer, who is already, here we go. Here's the number. Here's the number. In 14 games, Kalen DeBoer has lost to as many unranked teams as Nick Saban did in his entire 17-year run in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, 230 games for Saban. He only lost to 4 unranked opponents.
I kind of feel for the guy because I'm sure that the vitriol, as it does these days, has taken an ugly, ugly turn. I'm sure he's getting threats and everything else, and that part of it just makes me sick. But he's on a blazing hot seat right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think about the contract that they gave him, though. That is going to be a significant amount of money to buy him out if they ultimately opt to do that. Here's the other thing that I kind of take away from this weekend, Joe. Like, look at the Big Ten. The Big Ten overall, at least at the top, I think it surpassed the SEC. I think the Big Ten with its greatest teams, Ohio State, Penn State, we'll see how good the Indianas, the Illinois, the Michigans are of the world. I think that their top squads are better than the SEC, and I think a big reason why is because of NIL. Look, like the SEC, they still have very good teams, don't get me wrong. They're deeper, but I think that NIL has helped the Big Ten and has helped other conferences. It's helped Clemson. It's helped Florida State. Some teams even in the ACC, where now the SEC, I don't think there's going to be as huge of a reign of dominance like we'd seen in the previous 15 years.
Okay, but let's not cry poor for the SEC.
Oh, I'm not
in the
at
meantime.
All.
So you're saying that the Big Ten has taken more advantage of NIL
than the SEC,
is that right?
Has. That's what I'm saying.
Are they paying the top players more?
Well, I mean, look at some of the quarterbacks.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is Ohio State had a $20 million roster out there last year that went on and won a national championship.
What's Alabama's roster? I don't know.
I honestly don't know. So Alabama, in terms of NIL, is not where Ohio State is. It's not where Texas is. It's not where a lot of these top programs are in the country.
Like, right.
Alabama's lagging behind a little bit when it comes to money. And
then,
now I think we're starting to see
pay
it.
More. LSU looked pretty good, Limits.
Oh,
but
yeah,
the Big Ten has been top heavy with some great teams. And I'm not counting out Texas, by the way.
No, not at all.
They went on the road in Columbus and had a chance to tie or win late in the game. I mean, like I said, if I'm writing Arch Manning's checks these days, there are no moral victories. But Texas looks like they could be a very good team to me.
Yeah,
it's a week one loss in as tough an environment as there is in college football.
Their defense was better than I expected. Maybe that's just because Julian Sain played bad. But I still think Texas is definitely a top five team throughout the majority of the year.
We'll rate our quarterbacks for the Steelers' purposes next year, our college quarterbacks after week one later on. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Cloudy today with a high of Paul Coffey, 77. Great weather for Bob to golf, but he's at the Tomlin News Conference, and he's going to introduce the Steelers coach next, and we're going to carry that news conference live. Sure to be asked about Cam Hayward, who dropped on his podcast when asked by the co-host, "You going to be there for week one?" "We'll see," said Cam.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.